Program 22 minutes to 6 is the time, and I'm joined on the line now by Liam Horan, Managing Director of Slianua Careers. Liam, good evening to you.
Good evening to you, Aidan.
And welcome as always. A very interesting query this evening from DD. Aidan, Liam, when this is all over, and I presume by that is meant COVID, when this is all over, I want to get out of here. I badly need to travel and see the world. I have a business qualification and I'd like to get into the world of EU research and policy. It's always interested me. Any suggestions on where I would start?
A question that reflects, I say, a not uncommon state of mind for a lot of people in terms of wanting to get on the move again and go and see the world. A lot of our young people in particular have been denied that in the last year, and they're not looking like there's any immediate prospects, unfortunately, in the next 6 or 8 months either. I think for this listener, they need to understand the scale of the EU, first of all. The EU, between the European Parliament, the European Commission, and all the various wings and subsets of it, is an enormous enterprise. And I think that they need to narrow down their area of interest. So is there interest in agriculture? Is it in environment? Is it in transport? Is it in, you know, enterprise? What are the various areas? What's the key area they're interested in? And when they've done that, then to zone in on the various information sources that cover those areas in the EU. And there's no shortage of stuff. In fact, one of the big complaints about the EU is there's an overload of information. You know, there's so much documented, so many papers and discussion groups and also the working groups working on all sorts of topics that it can be hard to figure your way out. So the worst thing that this listener could do, I would say, and I have some experience of European training programs, etc., is to come at it too broad. I think they need to narrow down their range of interest first, because there's no point going to Brussels to work in agriculture. Okay, happy days, you're in Brussels, you're working in the EU, but you're no interest in agriculture. So I think the interest of the discipline or the area that might interest you first is the first step they should consider. And what does the business degree tell us about in this case? Mm. What do they like about business, or what else do they have an interest in? They're the kind of initial questions that they need to ask, which is kind of a little bit boring, I know, to say that, but I think going off into the big bad world of the EU without that kind of narrowing down of your interests could be dangerous.
And of course that's very sound advice, because the EU, as you say, on so many levels deals with a whole host of different issues. I mean, if you just look at a micro level, a government here has to deal with a whole host of issues, which is the reason why there are so many government departments. The same purpose applies in Brussels, why there are so many commissioners. And this individual would need to, as you say, decide his area of interest or expertise and move in that direction. So it might be agriculture, as you say, but it could be enterprise, it could be research and development, it might be foreign affairs, it might be a whole host of issues.
Yes, and then let's just presume they do narrow that down to one or two fields of interest. They need to then start signing up for courses. There's a whole host of webinars. There are a whole host of webinars, training courses, short ones. You could go to the Irish College in Louvain. There's lots of courses, and it's a good leg in the door for an Irish person, if this person is Irish, or obviously Irish-based anyway. Start doing courses, start doing programs, short ones. As I said, there's an endless supply of them. You can do virtual tours of the European Union, European Union's various structures and all of that, so that you can get a further feel for how it all operates and what continues to tick your fancy, so to speak. What I would say here is that it's a very broad question DD has asked. It might sound a little bit like a pipe dream as opposed to something well thought out. So by doing some short courses, attending some webinars, making contacts with people who work within the EU system, for example, your local MEP might be somebody you could speak with. They may have people in their office you can talk to. So that kind of thing, dipping your toes further into the water to see if it continue to interest you. I will say, any time I've been in Brussels, I've always been struck by this whole thing. God, I'd love to work here. And I suspect you've been the same.
Absolutely, absolutely. If I was DD's age again, I'd certainly be thinking of something like that, travelling the world ending up in the European Commission.
It's a city so dominated by politics. Mm. We don't have that in Ireland. You know, Dublin is our capital city, but it's not big politics as such, or big administration, or big government, or whatever you want to call it. Whereas Brussels just has this, fascinating collection of subgroups and everything, groups for the regions and all sorts of things, and weeks for this and days for that, and it's fascinating stuff. So I think our listener needs to get talking with people who work within that system, and some of those are based here in Ireland, people working in places like the Border Midlands and Western Regional Assembly, Western Development Commission, people like that. Various county councils have people who engage a lot with Europe as well to get further in there. I would also say that they should sign up to some of the news sources. I'm signed up to politico.eu, which is a daily news briefing from the European Union. It also takes news from the various capital cities as well. So if something happens in the Irish government, it'll be included in the European news as well. Just to give them a further sense of how this... I think generally in Ireland we have tended to be poorly enough informed about what's known euphemistically as the European project. And I think that it's only when you really get into it and you realise the size of the budgets, the interdependency of the various countries. And we've seen that perhaps in a negative way with the vaccine dissemination as well. That, you know, this reader or this listener needs to just get into all of that, read the daily briefings, do the courses, talk to people working there. And after all of that, see, does it still sound as exciting? Because, you know, you want to tour the world, but if you go to Brussels, for example, you're just going to one city. That's not touring the world. So don't sell yourself a lie either, that, you know, if you want to tour the world, go tour the world is the answer, I would say. But if it still stands as something that interests you, I would, you know, you can progress further then. There are lots of jobs in Ireland, there are lots of organisations in Ireland who have a lot of dealings with the European Union, and you can get a very strong sense of that by communicating with them. As I said, the various chambers, things like that, they all have strong connections with Europe, and would be a good place for DD to further learn about Europe and whether or not it's for them.
And just one final question. Let's say, for argument's sake, DD signs up for these courses, makes these contacts, hones in in a particular area that he or she would be interested in pursuing at Brussels level, then in terms of the actual process by which you get into Brussels, get into what is essentially the European Civil Service, the European Commission, would there be specific jobs, job advertisements, or...
Yes, and there's a range of places where you can apply for European jobs as well. And, you know, there are jobs for everything, research associates, analysts, communications people, policy writers, policy researchers, all sorts of translators, interpreters, all that kind of thing. And there are a range of sites as well, including an official site as well, where DD can go and look at the various jobs coming up. But, you know, so there's still an informality as well, you know, getting to do some work with some agency based here in Ireland who have European funding. That could well be advertised locally. I mean, the leader companies, for example, you know, have lots of projects that are funded by European money. And by being involved in some projects like that, for example, you get to understand how the EU disperse money, how they track it, because that's a huge part of it. It's something that people give out about at times, the amount of paperwork that some people see as excessive. I must say I have never seen it that way in my own involvement in it. But, you know, to you know, justify value for, or to guarantee value for money, etc. So all of that, you know, is really interesting stuff. And, you know, the West of Ireland has benefited hugely from direct funding from Europe through the various agencies, that there's no shortage of people they can talk to without ever leaving their own county to get a further idea of how Europe operates.
So DD has to do a bit of footwork, I think.
Yes. We've a bit to go from this sort of nice headline statement of I'd like to travel the world and work in Europe through to actually seeing what that means. And I'm not saying it won't come to something, but, you know, you can be unhappy in the best city in the world doing a job you don't like, and vice versa as well, you know.
Very, very true indeed. Before we finish, Liam, were you somewhat put out by the fact that the GAA was deemed not to be elite when it comes to sport last week?
I was surprised, yeah, and I think the